now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon, and we are starting our second segment live from Blends 2 right here at 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. Again, I have my guy, Sneaker Fox. I got Big Mike from Can I Kick It? I got Big Ray in the building. Big Ray! And I have a special guest, Coco, from Coco Ash PR and Marketing Company. How you doing today, Coco? So,
what's up?
Can you tell us about Coco Ash, your marketing company and PR firm?
Okay, cool. Well, my name is Coco Ash. I'm from L.A. I live in Atlanta. I've been doing PR and marketing for the past 12 years. I work with a lot of people, any and everybody you can think of, from Big Hef, Def Jam, to the Nerve DJs, Fleet DJs, Hot 107.9. I don't done it all.
So what is, like, some of the common problems that you see in terms of you're working with the artist, and they're trying to get their image up, or they're trying to build their brand. What's one of the most common problems that you see in terms of a young guy just trying to get started?
Number one thing is they always want to do it for fun, right? They always want to hit the PR, the marketing company, or a DJ, and they're not really serious about it, right? They want to go ahead and put their music out there, and next thing you know, they don't have a budget in mind. They don't know how much they want to spend. They don't even know exactly, you know, how much it will be or how much it will cost to really, you know, do a promo tour. A lot of people really don't even show up to events, you know, marketing events or anything like that. So I think that before you even hit any of us, can be a DJ or a PR company, make sure that you know exactly what you want before you even make a phone call or even hit anybody on Instagram, social media, emails, whatever it is.
So you said know what you want. A lot of times that's easier said than done. Like, what is there a couple questions that somebody should ask themselves, like, to kind of get down to the nitty-gritty of what direction should I be going in?
I think that you should know exactly what you want. Like I said, a lot of people want to do it for fun, and they don't want to really make it a career. They just want to just take a music out there and that's it. Just one hit and that's it. Rather than just being focused and, you know, keep, you know, being grounded about it. They're not really serious like that. So I think that you really need to know exactly that this is what you want to do. Because, again, you got to waste, you wasting a lot of people's time. You know, we got DJs that we got to hit. You know, you have PR companies that, you know, we don't hit them about, hey, I have an artist here. And they're really not serious about it. So I think that you should really be serious about what you really want to do.
Now, like, I think we all kind of have a grasp in terms of marketing, like what we assume to be marketing. Like, most of us here are entrepreneurs, so we kind of understand, like, okay, what it is to have a business and put into that business and to get the name out there and get some traction going in that realm. Explain to us a little bit, because a lot of people, even artists, don't understand the PR side of it. So can you kind of break down some of that to show, like, what's the difference between, like, your brand in terms of marketing and PR?
Okay, so PR is more of public relations, mm-hmm. Okay? What we do is we put your name out there to a lot of platforms, radio, street marketing, magazines, anything you can think of, even international marketing as well. So that's exactly what we do. We make sure that you out there in the public eye. It can be even on a podcast, you know. A lot of people really don't know in regards to even magazine and a lot of, you know, a lot of those receipts, like at Kroger's or Walmart, they
right.
have the receipts in the back.
The stuff on the back,
and
yeah,
they have the little advertisement. They don't know about stuff like that, right? So basically that's what we do. We make sure that your name is out there, and everybody knows you.
So with that, like, it's funny that you say that, because I saw a DJ was on Groupon, right?
Yeah.
And so I found it funny, because I don't know whether that values his brand, with, you know, it steps his brand up, Or does that cheapen his brand? Like, if you find a DJ on Groupon, like, is that the guy that you really want?
I mean, why not? That's marketing. That's marketing. It doesn't matter where you put your platform on. That's still marketing. Somebody's going to see you.
Right.
It's a certain niche of people that's on Groupon that, you know, so you tapping into a different customer base at that point that you're not going to normally reach. If I'm just on my Instagram or my website or my own social media platforms, I'm not tapping every audience that, because think about it, it's people who, if you go in there and shop for an oil change coupon, you will go in there, like, people look for discounts all the time. So, hey, if I got this DJ that's running a coupon for this amount of time, I know I got this event coming up, then, hey, that's a good marketing. For me, in my opinion, I'll say that.
You'd be amazed on how many good artists you see or flyers you see on a lot of gas stations. Like those stickers.
Right.
That's really, I mean, you wouldn't even know about that person until you see it at the gas station.
Well, I will admit, like, there's, I don't even know his dude's name, man, but there's an image that I see all the time. Like, it's always on, like, a gas station, telephone poles, all the time, and I don't know it. And that's kind of the thing that I was saying. I don't know if how much it actually helps, and that's why I'm asking. Like, I'm legit asking serious questions because I don't know if it helps you. Like, sometimes it's that sight recognition, but then I don't always have that follow-through. So how do you get to that follow-through part where, okay, you've put up enough stickers, you put out enough flyers, you know, you've gotten an image out there to where anybody can go, and now I need to know what it is that you're doing.
So with that, I would say that you have to really think outside the box too, rather than just staying in one city. After that, you need to move to the next step, right? A lot of people really think that you just have to do a lot of marketing in your city where you at. You have to go out there a little bit more, you know, Midwest, you gotta go to the West, you gotta go to, you know, the South, even, you know, up North as well. So I think that the next thing you must do is kind of go outside the box and kind of hit the other markets as well, rather than just, you know, staying local.
And I would imagine that most artists, entertainers, even athletes, like even when you're athletes, you go out, a lot of athletes are afraid to go to a school that's outside of their region, or they're afraid to, like, be, if they're playing professionally already, they're already afraid to be traded to maybe the West Coast or something like that, or to another market because they've built themselves into that market. Like, how do you, is it just the case of doing, because I'm saying, like, how do you handle that frustration or that being afraid? Is it just going out and doing it?
Yeah, you just have to. I mean, you just have to. I think that, like I said earlier, I think you have to really, you know that what you want to do. You have to put faith in what you really want to do, right? And you have to make sure that you find a really good PR company as well that is going to make sure that they push you through, you know, on what you're trying to do as well. So there's a lot of companies out here that really don't push you as where you trying to go, and it's all local. So I think that you must make sure that you get you a good PR company that, you know, first of all, get you a good contract and make sure you read your papers as well. But again, you have to make sure that you have a really good PR company to kind of promote you out there more than what you're trying to do.
So for, like, and I'm going to turn this kind of, like, into sports and like, tie it in with sports and entertainment, because a lot of hip-hop artists are starting to get into the shoe business, and they're collabing with Nike, Adidas, Puma, all of these things. And how do you build that brand, or what happens when you get in there and you decide that the company is, they have a whole different vision for you than you have for yourself, but that wasn't discussed prior to the deal?
That's a hard part right there. I think that you should put everything on the table, exactly, you know, how you want the vision to be. Like, for example, they, you know, you have Pumas, but I like Adidas. I don't want Pumas, you know. I want to make sure that, you know, I want to get some type of, you know, Adidas brand, and this is what I want to go ahead and brand, but they doing something else. I think that's something that should be discussed with that company as well. So if you already signed something, again, you should be reading your contracts and make sure that they are fulfilling what you're, you know, what you want, rather than just.
Now, tying it into going back to that, now let's say, okay, you're not a Puma person, but Adidas not giving you that deal. Like we've heard the Michael Jordan story all about he wanted to sign with Adidas, right. And there was this small company called Nike who was like, I think Adidas was giving him $100,000 because that was their typical rate. Nike is saying, we're giving you your own shoe, we're giving you a little ownership, and we're going to give you $500,000.
Take it.
It's as simple as
take
that.
Take it. I mean, it's going to, you either going to take it or just wait until something else falls through for you. So just take it. That right there is going to get Adidas to see you, and then potentially you could get an Adidas deal. So I would say take it.
And you also got to realize, like she said, you take that and you use that to build your brand, but you got to realize contracts aren't lifelong. Everybody's not doing these lifelong contracts. So when it comes to the renegotiation period of that contract, that's when now you got more force to be like, look, I got this company now that is turning back and turning back into the table. They coming back and trying to pull up their chair. I got this company over here. So now you're in a better position for negotiations because you can either jump ship or you can make your people give you more money and stay where you at.
Nine times out of ten, they're going to see you already. If you take that deal, they're going to go back and see, oh, he or she already got that deal. Let me go back to her and see if we can offer that. You know what I mean? They're going to see you regardless. So I would say take it.
I think Kanye West was the best example of that, Mike, what you were just talking about, where he was able to use Nike to build his leverage. Nike didn't give him royalties or anything. And then when he got with Adidas, he already built that hype with Nike. And now Adidas, he's getting his own royalty and his own brand.
And so also with that had to do with a lot with for with Kanye, yep, was the creativity side of it.
And
Nike likes
control,
to control the creativity or the know the narrative of how their line is came out. Kanye, a lot of people don't realize the aesthetic or the real meaning behind Yeezy brand, and he wanted to be able to fulfill that the way he wanted to. So that's another reason why when Adidas came to the table and they gave him that creative freedom to do the things that he wanted to do with his shoe and his line, that's why he took that deal also.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So can, like, all of this ties together, but can a, if I'm, let me try, I'm trying to think of somebody who has a bad boy type image. Like, we don't really have those guys right now. The only person I can think of is, like, AB, but if I'm a young player and I'm doing some of the antics, like an Antonio Brown or a player where he's known as a bad guy on the in the sports realm, but his shoes is popping. Like, how does one outweigh the other? Like, or do they tie together? Is it like, because back in the day, Charles Barkley had the thing, I'm not a role model, and he was throwing dudes out of bars and all that. But you go to and Nike was rocking with him.
Right.
Every year he had a brand new pair of Charles Barkley's. So is it tied together or is one out more, you know, one outweighs the other?
I would say it's tied together.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely tied together. Yeah.
Like the difference, I guess, now is, like you said, back in the day, it took that stuff more time to hit the fan with in Rodman era because the internet wasn't what it is now.
Right.
So with everybody having a phone in their hand and, you know, it's instant when something happens to somebody, it's everybody in the world knows. So now that's why it ties together. You don't have an AB who out here that's got that type of leeway. Now, like I said, take for instance the Travis Scott situation with Astroworld. As soon as that happened, a couple days, people trying to see what stuff's sorting out. But you notice when right before the big information came out about who was tied into what and all the lawsuits started to come, all the brands started cutting them endorsements. Like, nah,
right.
This got to go. This
but
gotta
the
go,
good
this
PR
go.
Marketing about that was that y'all saw that he was gifting gifts and stuff for Christmas.
Right.
Like, that was his PR right there was doing all of that just to kind of, you know, move the whole bad, you know,
right, you have from, to, you kind of got to overshadow, and he basically used that trend because his name was trending regardless. Like,
right.
Everybody tell you there's no such thing as bad marketing. If your name is moving, you just got to know how to capitalize on that. So if your name is trending at that moment, you got to be able to flood something out instantly, like she said, and move that into it. So move that gift, that, you know, the Christmas gift thing out while your name is trending for that bad, because it's going to pull the good up too.
If you were his PR, how would you handle that situation? Like, I know he did that
the
interview
same
with
way
Charlamagne.
They did it with that whole
would
Christmas
him,
stuff.
Like, would you have pulled him back and like,
nah,
no, you can't do that interview with Charlamagne and da 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 da.
No, I would have never pulled him back. The you same way they handle it now, yeah. I think it's the perfect way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think also too in that scenario, like everybody thought, oh, it's over. Oh my God, it's over. Yeah. But we don't have a culture where, like, you say cancel culture, but it's not really you. People get mad at you for about a week. Right. Like, let's be honest. You get pissed off about
a week.
2 days. Yeah, and then and then you see him out with his girlfriend or you see him out with somebody and you back on it all over again. Or your new pair of shoes drops and it's all over again. You know what I'm saying? So while on that side, like, how would you – like, the fan side, they're going to rock with him because the fans that always kick it with him, they're going to kick it with him regardless. But business side, with Nike – with I think he had McDonald's and PlayStation or whatever, EA Sports, whatever it was, what advice would you give someone in that type of scenario to how to patch up those business deals?
I mean, there's really nothing much you can really do. You know, these people are giving you your money, you know, their money. So I think in that situation was kind of hard for him. He had to pull back from all of them, and then he going to have to restart all over again. They're going to give him some more deals. Not right now, but later on down the line. Somebody's going to cut him, you know, another deal as well. I think the McDonald's one was already kind of over and done with. But the other
that
ones.
Video game. What was that video
game? Yeah.
It was on Fortnite. With his emotes.
But I think they're going to give him more. We just have to wait for right now. I think he's a little bit too hot for what happened. Right. So I think within the next maybe 4 or 5 months, he's going to get back to it.
Perfect example is Chris Brown. Like,
The Chris Brown. Yeah, so that was, So, like, I mean, to move the eyes from him, you know, they just had a baby. So.
And he's going
to
let that marketing come out.
And come, right.
The way that, you know, Kylie rolled out the videos and showing him in that family, like, you kind of let all that stuff move. And once people start to see, and then, you know, people was talking about how, what's the youngest baby was born on February 1st, and this baby boy is born the day after. So it's little trendy things like that spike up, and you just got to know how to work these situations. So he'll take this family role for a little minute, let that, you know, kind of roll out, and then when he reemerges, like you said, it'll be good for him. Like, every deal, he didn't lose every single deal. Nike just delayed his stuff. Nike didn't cut ties with him. It's a couple other people that didn't cut ties with him. They just delayed things. He lost big stuff like the Dior, the Fortnite, which was huge. But you can always bounce back. And if you look at all the moves that are being made in the industry, in the gaming industry anyway, a lot of these big companies are coming, buying, you know, these smaller gaming companies, Microsoft buying Activision like they just did. Right. Then Sony turning right back around and buying another smaller company like that. Those deals are reworked themselves because the bigger companies know their bigger picture is dollars. So if you can sell stuff, they're going to come back and get you.
I mean, perfect example is Chris Brown. I mean, they shelved him for, like, a year or two.
Right.
And then right after that, he's back. Kobe Bryant with Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Nike shelved him after that rape case for, like, a year or two. Right after that, it died down.
He got another rape case right now. So
changed his number.
Chris Brown. Oh, he got another rape case.
So I think
he got a record right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even thinking about that right now.
Yeah. So I think, like, after I'm talking about with Rihanna after.
He had to lay low for a while, but now he's back. So
yeah,
you know,
Kobe.
Right.
So to that point, what do you do when you got a motherfucker that just won't act right? Like, it's nothing that he will do. Like, he whenever he steps out in the crowd, he's going to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you handle a person like that?
So I got a perfect example. I had an indie artist about maybe 5 years ago from Cincinnati, and he would not stay out of jail. Every 2 weeks, he would not stay out of jail. But you got to think about it. He from Cincinnati. So we was working with him about maybe 6 months or so. We just had to drop him. It was just too much to lose. We had so much going on. We was on the road literally every week, and he was not showing up because he was in jail. So we would just have to just drop him, cut the contract, and that's it.
So at that point in time, the cost outweighed the benefits of carrying him in the business. So once again, before we go any further, because I want everybody to rock with you. If they have any questions, I want you to plug your website on IG, whatever we can find you, so that if anybody's interested in getting into the business, if they could jump in, can holler at you, say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, whether it's I'm trying to be an artist or whether I'm trying to do PR. Like, could you just kind of plug everything so that we'll know where to tap in?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Coco Ash PR, also on Facebook, Coco Ash PR. I'm also I have a nonprofit, which is the Miles Foundation for Men and Women. We kind of provide a lot of shelters, food, jobs for a lot of women and men in the city of Atlanta. So you can follow me on Instagram. I'm very active on there. So as soon as you message me, either me or one of my team will respond back to you.
I want to piggyback off the troubled artists. The problem is nowadays, and once again, I go back, I'm an industry purist. I've been in the game since 88. There's been a breakdown. When I was in the business, there was the management, the A&R, the PR firm. 9 times out of 10, the PR firm would be with the record company, which means they work together. There's no A&R. There's no A&R no more. And then nowadays, you got management who is my boy. He knows me. He knows I need this money to get this money before I hit the stage, book these shows. He doesn't know about the troubleshooting on managing an artist. And that's where the disconnect is, managing an artist, managing expectations. I worked for Wu-Tang Records at one time, and I had to deal with the Wu-Tang Killer Bees. That's like the cousins and the subsidiaries, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So one of my jobs as the A&R was not only to make sure that the project was good, but it was like a babysitter. It was like troubleshooting stuff before it came. So I know we was taking a bus to Miami for Mix Show Power Summit. That's back when they had all the conferences and stuff like that. I did a search of the bus to make sure all the weed was in one place. The guns stayed home.
Right.
Y'all don't need this. We are working right now. I'll hold the weed. Because when we get pulled over, and we got pulled over in Virginia, everybody off the bus. I knew, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been down this road. You've got inexperienced people who's going to put weed in their sock, and that's the first place. You know, as the A&R, and then the management has to, everybody has to work together. The problem is nowadays is that there's no A&Rs, there's no management. The PR firm is a PR firm. They're not management. They're not A&Rs. But they're taking the role of both. And you've got some PR firms who are not experienced with that type of situation. They're PR firms. My job is to make people know who you are. Not to bail you out of jail, not to keep you out, you know, not to keep you out of jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the changing of the industry. You know what I'm saying? That's the changing of, instead of buying CDs, I can now get everything on this right here.
That was my next question. I was going to ask, has the internet cut a lot of jobs in the industry? Because, like, I can remember, like how you were just saying, there was the Wu-Tang Killer Bees, and a lot of times, record companies would have guys who's up next, and they would determine who's up next, and they would kind of groom this dude, and they would take him out, and they would give him media days and do stuff like that. And you could, right. So when you sat down with a Funk Flex or a Greg Street or whoever you sitting down with, you knew how to answer certain questions. Now you hear an interview on the radio, and dude is like, "Yeah, nah."
But that's right there is the grooming of the PR agency. You know what I'm saying? And in all honesty, you got artists right now who selling so many units on their phone who feel they don't need to listen to these bougie motherfuckers.
Right.
You know, sorry, I'm sorry. Pardon the language.
No, go. We open over here.
But it is what it is.
Right.
You know,
the last artist I managed
a while ago, and I had to literally do everything, you know, because of digital, and she was looking for a record deal. We had to do everything very, very, very carefully, because it's not like back in the days when there was a record company on every corner. These companies nowadays are very picky on who they're letting to be up next, you know, and it may be a one-hit wonder. But that song is on the charts at every major hip-hop station across the country
right.
for like 7 months. So whether it's in heavy rotation or you hear it once, or you're still hearing it. Whether it's on a mix show, it's still in rotation. You know what I'm saying? So Who are you to tell me how to dress and who I can't bring to the show and I can't throw up my my gang signs? Hey, this is who I am. I'm successful. What the fuck I need you for?
And so,
and it's hard for the PR agency.
So with that though, like you said, with that you probably won't go far. Like, and that's the understanding between.
No. With that, you probably will go far. Cause once again, this right here
is the internet. Is the internet.
You got everybody from a young black kid to a young Asian kid to a young white kid who's forwarding this to them. Yo, dude, this Kodak Black is dope. Let me forward this to you. Yo, I just tagged you into his video. Yo, I just World Star. It's, you know what I'm saying? Look how popular World Star got.
Right. But at the same time, what I'm saying also, well, my question is, like, what happens, like, in the case of Kodak Black, when Nipsey Hussle passed away, and you have Kodak on Instagram talking about, yeah, you know, Lauren started talking reckless about Lauren London. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's appalled, and you got all the media. And so you're telling me that basically there's no ramifications for him saying all the crazy stuff that he was saying.
There's ramifications. It just depends on which level you're talking about the ramifications coming from.
In the streets, it would be
that's
ramifications.
That's a street ramification right now.
Right.
Like everything else, no ramifications.
But then again, does he care about that? No.
He doesn't.
And in all honesty, the people at the record company ain't gonna stop him because it's bringing awareness to him, which now in turn, people are going to be like, well, let me see about this. Island Boys.
Yeah, we just talked about it a little
earlier. I knew nothing about them until I saw their videos. And you know what I did? I went to my Apple iPlay, and I typed up Island Boys. And I was like, oh, okay. But I just paid them.
Right.
I just paid them. And that's what they're doing. They're doing all this to get the attention so people can do exactly what I did. You know?
It goes back to just becoming trending. Like I said, when you become trending now in today's internet society,
that's the marketing.
Then that's your marketing now. And if you can do that on your own, like that's, it's the push also for independence. Like if you hear about independent artists, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the artists now are talking about, I'm independent, I don't need a record label, you know, stuff like that. That's where you get these things from, and that's where this type of behavior starts to come from.
So the saying is true, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
There's not.
No.
I mean,
none whatsoever. Any publicity is good. As long as you spell my name right.
Exactly.
And download my music.
And tag my social media.
You know, and I mean, once again, I came from the era, and I'm happy that I'm still functioning within the way I am. I'm an old man in the business, you know, but I've seen the change, and I've seen it go up and down and up and down and stagnant and up. And that's the way it is in this industry. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's sports,
right,
fashion, music, TV, movies, it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? The whole entertainment realm. It has its ebbs and flows, and sometimes it's stagnant as hell.
My boy DJ Joe. Unique. He always keep us right. He always keep us tight. He is the official tour DJ for the Lost Boys. He is the official DJ for Foxy Brown also. So, like, when he's out here and he's telling you he's out here, he ain't bullshitting. He's really out here. But I like to thank my engineer, my producer, DJ Reese Boogie. I also like to thank my co-producer, G Rush. He's always out, you know, keeping us tight. I thank everybody for coming out, riding with us. I thank my sponsor, Greenwood Whiskey, for having us here and enjoying ourselves. I thank everyone out here today probably had a glass of Greenwood Whiskey and enjoyed themselves. So once again, we are at Blends 2 Cigar Bar in Hapeville. That's 632 South Central Avenue. If you're out on Mondays, Blends 2, we always ready for you to come on out and join us. We always talk sports. We always talk the culture. We always talk about community. We always network with each other because that is the goal, for us to become one with our community and us to rise together. No hating, no fuss, just good fun and us all rising together. So again, this is the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Until next week, I'll holler. Let me trip it to the stars.
okay, bye.